Doctor, doctor, I can't sleep. Been out drinking every night this week. He's real gone, he ain't coming back. And I'm anxious. Pace the floor, cut my hair, go out walking, should I find him there? Strangers ask, what is your name? I'm so anxious. Oh, there's nothing I can do to keep from vision blurs and my hands shake ever since you went away. I'm so anxious. Well, there's nothing I can do to keep from feeling blue, to keep from feeling sad. Doctor, what should I do? Put in all my faith in you. I can't slow my racing mind. I'm so anxious. Yeah, there's nothing I can do to keep from feeling blue, to keep from
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
What was that? What were we just listening to?
So that's a newer song of mine. It's, I guess, about social anxiety. It's clearly exemplified by the word anxious. It's repeated multiple times in the song. Yeah, I just started work on a new record, and I have a new body of work. We're going to be doing a lot of that stuff tonight at Steve's Guitars. And that song is kind of interesting because we played a version of that that's kind of fast, up-tempo, bluegrassy sounding. But for the record, I recorded it two ways. One, like, slow and sultry and kind of... with like traces of R&B, which is really rare for me. Nice. And then we also did an up-tempo kind of bluegrassy version like you just heard. So on the CD, it's going to be coming out two different ways.
Very cool. What inspired that? I have some thoughts on it, but what inspired that idea to do two different iterations of the song?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. Like, that song reminds me a little bit of Dolly Parton's Jolene. Do you know that song?
Of course.
And they do that experiment where they slow it way down, and the melody still really carries the composition, right? And so mm-hmm. I don't think I have too many songs that, like, have those kinds of architectural legs or, like, sturdiness, you know?
Sure.
But that one did seem to work both ways, which was really gratifying.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, when listening to those lyrics anyway, it sounds like you put a lot of thought, like you were very much a lyricist as much as a musician, as it were.
For sure. Yeah. Sometimes I have a problem when I listen to other people's music, you know, that like I pay so much attention to the lyrics. I don't know if I give proper attention or credence to the musical elements. But Jamie and I talk about that a lot, like what you notice first. And yeah, I tend to listen to the story or the messaging first.
Very cool. Very cool. You had another one on the docket?
Yeah.
That was so great. I'm just going to let you guys keep on keeping.
So I'll tell you just a little bit about it. So I live over in Paonia, Colorado. I relocated there 3 years ago. And as you guys know, coming back and forth between Paonia and Carbondale, you go through a tiny little coal mining community called Somerset, Colorado. And being on tour a lot, I pass through Somerset just hundreds of times a year. And one of my big influences is Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. And every time I go through Somerset, I've thought, oh my gosh, Gillian Welch should write a song about this place. This is like really up her alley and in her vernacular. And then one day, I guess about a year ago, it occurred to me, I guess I'm a professional songwriter and I would be qualified to try that task. So I'm going to give it a shot. So this song is like just an imagined day in the life of a coal miner in maybe 1950. And unlike me, who's so pleased to have settled down in a rural area and just watch the sunrise come up over the farms every day and be satisfied on my front porch, this young man is like maybe 23 and he's really fiery and he wants to get out of town and see the world. And so it's a day in his life. It's called Sun Up in Somerset.
Awesome.
It's noon here in Somerset. Ain't nobody took a break yet. The sun is screaming, oh, it hits his eyes. When he go walking out that coal mine, he'd only need about $1 million now. Buy every place in this dirty store. Oh, they'll be closing in a few Somerset.
That was great. That was great.
Thank you.
I love how you put yourself in the perspective of somebody that, like you talk about, is completely different from, your
totally
own, right?
Yeah, my own personality. I'm like, put me in a small town and leave me there forever.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like that you were still informed by your own real life, though, passing Somerset. And my understanding is that, you know, we've been listening to some really, like, I'm just, like, drifting off as I'm, like, listening to that. But you're also using the experiences of the here and now and what's really happening that informs some of your music, too. I've heard, you know, some anti-fracking stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard about, but have not had the pleasure yet, of, you know, kind of a hashtag Me Too kind of thing. Can you talk about, you know, how you insert your voice truly, literally into the political atmosphere in that?
Oh, sure thing. Yeah. So I had a project that I started, I guess, about a year and a half ago, where I started writing or interpreting songs to dedicate to nonprofits working in causes that I cared about. So I just made a list of like my 10 most important issues and then started connecting with the people that are doing really solution-based work in those fields, and either interviewed them or just tried to get like really hip to the current events in those causes and interpret a piece of work in the case of immigration, Woody Guthrie's Deportee, or write something original like you mentioned in the case of fracking in our own backyard in the North Fork Valley, created a song that I gave as a gift to those people that were doing work there. So actually, but another song that we had planned for you today isn't an original composition, but it is certainly a social commentary piece. And it was written by Leonard Cohen, and it's called Everybody Knows. And it's talking about this kind of like emperor's clothes, you know, like the small child that is willing to tell the truth kind of phenomenon that happens. But he's applying it to, I think, modern day politics, although he wrote it in the 70s, I think. Anyway, it's certainly applicable now.
Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the whole thing's fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. It's how it goes. Everybody knows that the ship is sinking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this sinking feeling, like the dog or their daddy died. Everybody's talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody. Everybody knows that you really love me. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows that you were discreet. There were just so many people you had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows just what we've been through. Everybody knows that you can't live forever once you've done a line or two. Everybody knows that the whole thing's rotten. Everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that the plague moves fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows that the whole thing's dead. They're gonna put a meter on your head. It will disclose. Well, everybody knows which is you're in trouble. Everybody knows just where you've been through. From the cross on Calvary down to the beach in Malibu, everybody knows that it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody.
And now I'm depressed at how apt that still is.
I know.
So, Jamie, we've got your mic tuned into your amp a little bit, but I did want to bring you into the conversation for a minute. You guys have such a sweet energy together. How long have you been playing?
So I was here 8 months ago, and Gabby invited me over to jam, and we had a kind of an immediate chemistry. But in this... I mean, I guess like the fourth or fifth time though and as a duo though, it's maybe only like the third time. So
we're kind of finding our groove. We, like, as Jamie said, he came up for a jam at my house, and there were six or seven other musicians around, and I kind of had the sensation of like, can you guys go home? I'd like to say that I invited him back up to the house next day. You want to come back and try that again? And we ended up playing for like 4 or 5 hours. And Jamie lives in Nashville, so he came all the way out from Nashville to do my summer dates with me. So I'm really honored to have him.
Wow, well, welcome. That's great. I'm so glad that the sun finally decided to come out for you
for
a minute.
Yeah.
It's like, I swear there's usually a mountain there on that backdrop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. And you've got a lot of musical friends, it's turning out. I should mention that Brandon Decker was originally going to be playing tonight with Steve's guitars. His plane was delayed. Is that the
story? I think his flight was canceled, and it was just a little cost prohibitive to buy a new one day of.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
But we will miss him. Yeah.
He'll be here in spirit. We'll be playing for him, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I definitely want to make sure we get one more song in.
Sure.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. We've got the title track to my last CD. As I said, I'm working on a new CD. I've actually just launched a Kickstarter to support that. If anyone's interested, there's lots of information at my website about the crowdfunding process. But going back in time now to my previous studio release, this was the title track from that. And it's a good song for the radio. It's called If the Static Clears.
Nice.
Well, he thinks he's got it figured out. He thinks he's got it pegged. I'm someone he can do without if there's static in his head. He seems to have it all worked out, but most nights are the same. He'll bolt and lock his tired heart, forget about the way we made the day. Roll by so easy, and maybe we are a story. Just an anxious breeze whispering in the wind chime. Some days you take it all to heart, break right down and cry. Some days you take it like a pill, swallow it with pride. The only way to tell him now about these things I feel is to dress them up in melody. So if the static clears, it's playing on the radio after the morning news. Or maybe in a dream we had about the
I get why that was your title. Couple minutes.
Yeah.
Talk about your new album. What was that process? How long have you been working on it? I mean, you're kind of launching your next baby, right?
Yeah, totally. Exactly. It's very much like your laborious process, you know, birth. Yeah, it, you know, we've just started begun work. I speak English, which is why I'm still so like effervescently excited about it. You know, like at the end of mixing and mastering, I'll be like, I never want to hear these songs again. But right now I'm still very excited. And so I pulled in my five favorite musicians, some musicians that I've been playing with for 14 years, which is so crazy. And together we went into the studio for 4 straight days and we tracked 11 songs. And Anxious Two Ways, so I guess 12 tracks, and hoping to come out with it at the end of the summer. So if the Kickstarter goes well, it pretty much has to at this point. So go find my website.
Right.
You can pre-order there. Yeah.
How does somebody find your website?
So it's just my name, which is Gabrielle Louise. Yeah. Two L's. Excellent. And two E's.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. And I'm assuming that if somebody in the listening world right now is like, wait, I want more of this, I'm definitely coming to Steve's, there'll be swag, there'll be all kinds of ways to continue the relationship, as it were.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll have a couple of my last records there and some that Katie and Kay have and has played in the past. So thank you guys so much for that support.
Yeah, of course, you make it really easy to support.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I cannot thank you enough so much. Riley, we've got like 2 minutes and yeah. I've been hogging the mic.
So I've been sitting on my hands over here wondering, especially with the Somerset song, like when you decided, wow, and thank you for writing a song about Somerset, what was the process to find the words and the melody? Did you spend time there with your guitar, maybe by the river? Or like, how important is where you write the songs and the moments in which you write them?
Yeah, for sure. I think like you collect information from life and then you let your subconscious kind of rattle around those like quilted pieces and digest it and like regurgitate it into something that makes sense. So usually it's like shards of information, but for like a time and place specific piece like that, I began like in Somerset and then had to make my gig on time. And by the time I had made it over into McClure, or, you know, over McClure Pass and was dropping into Carbondale, I was pretty much done. So it happened pretty fast, which was kind of cool, but that's why it's nice to be alone in the car sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you ever have to just pull over and write down words? Are you ever overcome with a song?
All the time, yeah. I actually got a ticket one time for playing the ukulele and driving at the same time because it was like, wait, I could multitask. They're like, nope, no, you can't. Yeah.
Thank you both so much, Jamie and Gabrielle, for stopping by.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I'm going to be thinking about the police officer that day. You're never going to believe who I had to pull over today. Love it. Thank you both.